In Moscow tomorrow, Juan Antonio Samaranch steps down as president of the International Olympic Committee, 21 years to the day after he won the job. His election also took place in Moscow just before the 1980 Summer Games. The United States boycotted that Olympiad to protest the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Samaranch took up the Olympic torch during troubled times for the Games. He now leaves the Olympic Committee richer and more powerful than ever, but still very troubled. NPR's Howard Berkus explains.
By his own account, 80-year-old Juan Antonio Samaranch leaves a mixed legacy, tainted by the Moscow boycott he inherited, the retaliatory Soviet boycott 4 years later in Los Angeles, and the recent Olympic bribery scandal in Salt Lake City. But he takes pride in the International Olympic Committee's financial health and how that helps Olympic athletes.
The organizing committee is paying the travel expenses and the accommodation, and we are giving some money for equipment. We are giving, $1,200 for athletes who participating in the Games. That means that the economical problem for the participation of the Games is over.
As are massive post-Olympic deficits for cities hosting the Games.
We are very pleased that these 10 Games that I presided, all these 10 games, they finish with black numbers. And some of them are with a great, great surplus. Great surplus. Great surplus.
Actually, some of those games finished without debt because local, regional, and national governments provided enormous subsidies. But there's no question that the Samaranch era will be remembered, first and foremost, for money, marketing, and television.
Coming in 2002, the Olympic Winter Games from Salt Lake on America's Olympic Network, NBC.
The selling of the Olympics to television networks and corporate sponsors became a billion-dollar enterprise under Samaranch, notes Olympic historian John Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Samaranch, for taking an organization that was bereft of income. Zero income. Nothing. But then Peter Uberoth went in the direction of corporate sponsorship, and so did Samaranch.
Peter Uberoth organized the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles. He was the first Olympic organizer to successfully link the images of the Games with the images of corporations.
And so the Olympic Committee in Lausanne, Switzerland, in very rapid fashion, in less than 5 or 6 years, watched the millions of dollars roll in from the corporate sponsors and the various networks. But it was like a runaway freight train as the thousands of millions of dollars had poured in, a Niagara of monies pouring in, which not only made the organization fiscally sound, but made it extraordinarily wealthy.
And powerful. The flood of money enabled the International Olympic Committee to quadruple its staff, to include people with legal, marketing, and diplomatic experience. The influence of the organization grew, turning it from a victim of boycotts and politics to a savvy political player, says John McAloon, a University of Chicago anthropologist who has long studied the group.
This political capacity has made possible the expansion of the Olympic Games to their present size. It also has led to the decline and finally the end of boycott actions and movements over the Samaranch years, which is certainly another major achievement of his regime. So these changes have been monumental in steering the organization through these major geopolitical events.
Samaranch is credited with making this scene possible during opening ceremonies last summer at the Olympics in Sydney, Australia.
The delegations of the Korean Olympic Committee and the Olympic Committee of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea marching together as Korea.
The two Koreas marching together is considered a political coup, as are the ceasefires that occur during some Olympics, the inclusion of African nations that once threatened boycotts, and China's return to the Games after a 30-year absence. Samaranch is credited with opening the Olympics and the IOC to poor countries, to more women, and to professional athletes. He's widely believed to be angling for a Nobel Peace Prize. But the money that made all this possible has its own price, including scars on the Samaranch legacy. Consider this scene from the 1988 Summer Games in Seoul.
The urine sample of Ben Johnson, Canada. Athletics, 100 meter, collected on Saturday, 24 September 1988, was found to contain the metabolites of a banned substance, namely stanozolol. It's an anabolic steroid.
And 10 years later, there was this news report on KTVX television in Salt Lake City.
News 4 Utah has learned Salt Lake Olympic organizers have quietly been spending thousands of dollars, that to pay the college tuition costs of relatives of International Olympic bigwigs.
And Chris Van Oker is here.
Samaranch is criticized for failing to address corruption and doping earlier in his tenure. Both were widely known aspects of Olympic competition and bidding long before the IOC seriously attacked them. Mark Tewksbury is a swimming gold medalist from Canada who links Olympic drug use and bribery with the IOC's prosperity.
There's a crisis in ethics and values. And from that, you have all these symptoms. The bid city scandal is a symptom. The doping is a symptom. Because let's face it, the Olympics, the way it's structured right now, is a top-down organization. The leaders aren't walking their talk. That starts to infiltrate down to the troops. They don't see the ideals anymore. They don't see the value. It's all about money.
Tewksbury and others also blame Samaranch's style of leadership. He once preferred the title His Excellency. Now it's simply Mr. President. His harshest critics say Samaranch learned about governing when he served as a regional functionary and a diplomat in the dictatorial regime of Spain's Francisco Franco. Andrew Jennings is a British journalist who made a career out of criticizing Samaranch.
There's no question, but he turned a fairly open, relaxed organization into this kind of organization today where you won't find any one of the members. Try them. Try the 120 members and try and find one of them that will make the most mildly critical remark. What Samaranch has done is destroyed free speech in the IOC.
Samaranch and others argue the IOC is becoming more democratic due to reforms adopted in the wake of the Salt Lake City scandal. They include a 12-year term limit for the new president, who will be elected tomorrow. Another election is also scheduled. Samaranch's son, his namesake, is up for membership in the IOC, nominated, of course, by his father. The elder Samaranch is also an honorary IOC president for life. That assures that the name Juan Antonio Samaranch will continue to echo in the halls of the International Olympic Committee. Howard Burkus, NPR News.